station.
Email pippah@capetalk.co.za.
Time to talk family matters. And I did tuck shop duty at school this morning before I came into work. And at one point when there was a lull between customers, I looked out over the break area where all the kids were sitting in groups. And in every single one of those groups, I saw at least one head bowed over a cell phone, typing or looking at something or reading something or sharing a video with a friend. At least one, in most cases, more than one. These devices have become so completely ingrained in some of our children's lives that almost every facet of their life in some way revolves around them or is touched by them. And there are some great things about that. There is access to information. There is educational content. There are abilities to keep in touch with friends and offer support to one another in ways that weren't possible to me in my teen years. We know, however, that the online world comes with significant risks as well. And we were chatting to Be In Touch last week about how AI is being trained to try and recognize the age of computer users, to try and limit the kind of material that underage users are seeing if it's inappropriate. That's one of the strategies, but sadly we know those kind of strategies are really sorely needed. And I was interested to read the results of a survey recently, which tells me they are very badly needed indeed in this country in particular. It was a survey conducted last year by the international think tank, the DQ Institute. And out of a list of 40 countries that it looked at, it found that South Africa's children were the second most likely in the world to be exposed to risky content. And that includes violent or sexual content. We are apparently second only to Thailand, according to the findings of their survey. As if parenting wasn't stressful enough already, now we have this added responsibility of ensuring that our kids know how to navigate the online world safely. It's a conversation we'll continue today with Dean McCoubrey, who is the founder of My Social Life. We've had them on the show before. It's a digital life skills program that is rolled out in South African schools that is all about talking to our children about their safety when using these online apps, and also about encouraging parents to get to know the platforms that their children are using so that they too can be savvy to the risks. Dean, it's always great to have you with us on the show. Welcome.
Thanks so much, and well done on the tuck shop duty. Incredible.
For my sins.
Yeah.
Dean, they may still be on their phones all day, but they still want a toasted sandwich at break time. Some things don't change. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, I found it fascinating and horrifying that we featured so badly on this risky list, particularly given the fact that we know that the kids with devices in their hands at break time are the privileged kids. We don't necessarily have universal access to digital devices and Wi-Fi connectivity in this country. Were you surprised that we did as badly as we did in that survey?
I was actually quite surprised. There are areas where we did okay, things like digital competency and social infrastructure, we came 10th. Okay. Actually, legal framework, we came really high. It says first, which I would need to ask somebody like Emma Sadler about that, because I don't know enough about it. But there are areas that we did okay. But you're right, in the area of things like risky content, cyber risks, we came 22nd out of 30 countries. So essentially, you know, I was surprised because devices aren't really ubiquitous yet, and data and Wi-Fi is also not ubiquitous or cheap enough.
Yeah.
So I was very surprised. But it shows you one very key thing, and that's what I wanted to say, was the challenge around guidance and education. We came 22nd out of 30. There is a massive lack of digital curriculum in the country. You know, there are very few of companies like ours that are actually in schools training term after term with relatable content. Relatable is the key word here, because kids are going to tune you out super smart.
Dean, I mean, before we talk more about the training and about what the parents need to do in that regard, let's just delve a little bit deeper into the kinds of risks that we're talking about. We know you've used the word sort of cyber risks, that hacking of content, hacking of financial accounts is something that adult victims deal with all the time, unfortunately. For kids in particular, though, is the biggest risk the risk of the person on the other end, the potential predator they meet online? Is it the risk of cyberbullying? What are the particular areas of concern?
So personally, based upon our exposure in schools, we teach 4,000 kids a year. And basically, cyberbullying would be number one. It would be the most prevalent. And then issues around sextortion, which essentially means the trading of images and then being bribed that if you don't either give more or give money, then essentially that those are going to be publicly shared with a whole load of other different social networks. Mental health is also really big. Those would be kind of the top three. And obviously, predatorial behavior. I mean, unwanted approaches from strangers. We are seeing children who are 9 years, grade fours, are talking, and then I did this, and this man gave me his cell phone and said, would you like, you know, to go on a date with me? I mean, standing up in front of the class and saying that, it because it shows you that this does happen. And I think there's one very important statistic, which is not in the Child Online Safety Index, which is locally when we train these kids, they say, it's difficult for us to talk about this because either we feel ashamed, fearful, embarrassed, or here we go, I am scared that my parents will take my device away because it's my access to my social group. So if parents do feel like, oh, don't be silly, you just need to remember that what's in the room is that your kids love you, but they may not be able to tell you for a whole host of reasons. It doesn't mean that they're not great kids, and it also doesn't mean you're not great parents. There are a number of shadows in the room.
Dean, I mean, that's the really scary thing, that we might think that we are putting controls in place. We might, offer the device with a set of ground rules. I know when I gave my kids their first phone at the age of 13, they were told that there were certain conditions, one of which is that mom and dad always have the access code and the right to check the phone if we see the need to do so. But we might think that that's good enough. Is that good enough, Dean?
Look, it's really difficult. The answer is no. It's difficult because you'd think that that would be good enough. But what is good enough is a united effort, okay, from parents really taking it seriously that there may be things that they don't know. And even though there many say, look, I don't have time for this, or look, it's just the same as alcohol and cigarettes when we were kids, all of those types of things. I'm saying only when it hits you will you really know. That's what we see. Everybody feels kind of either a little bit lethargic or perhaps a little too relaxed until the moment that you get hacked, until you get sextorted. I mean, I have unbelievable stories that we don't have time for. But ultimately, the real solution is to get this into your school. The teachers need to realize that this is something that needs to be paid attention to, that there should be a social media policy, that there needs to be ongoing training in schools. And parents, when they get home, then you can also look after them. But to think that parents can do it all, or to think that the students can do it all, not with this size of challenge. And people say, well, what type of challenge are you talking about? Well, we have a slide in our parent presentation called What Teens Have to Deal With. I'm talking about things about comparing yourself to other people, which creates dents in your self-esteem, like an erosion of self-esteem. I'm talking about behavioral change that could be self-harm, anxiety, which is also very large in schools, depression. We're talking about sextortion, catfishing, flaming, trolling. We're talking about identity theft. We're talking about password protection. You know, I can kind of go on and on and on. That's why we have 8 hours of training, because there's so many things to cover.
Dean, how big a part of the problem is the fact that the kids are on different platforms to the ones we as parents are typically using? My social media life is lived on Twitter for work purposes and on Facebook for private ones. My kids wouldn't be caught dead on those platforms. They are on totally different packages, and I'm not familiar with how to use those particular platforms. Is that part of the problem? Do you think parents should be making more of an effort to keep up with the particular specific platforms the children are using?
I have a lot of empathy for parents, because essentially, you know, there is naturally always a generational divide. Like, think about it, let's go back a generation. But there is now this additional technology divide. And the technology is where the popular culture is really sitting. So, you know, for example, we might look at TikTok, or now there's Paparazzi or Yubo, the Tinder for teenagers. These are all kind of new. Who would know about them? And so you're right, it is difficult, but that does not stop parents from self-educating. I'll give you a really great tip on air, is go to google.com/education. alerts. Okay, I'm going to say it again because it's really important. Google.com/alerts. And what happens is you would type in something like parent tips plus social media. And then what you're going to do is you're going to work out when you want that alert, once a day or once a week. And it's going to collate all the different stories around the latest trends and issues that are happening online and what articles there are which allow parents to be able to unpack it. Hmm. Just that single thing, Google.com alerts, type in something like parent tips. If your child's really big on TikTok, write parent review plus TikTok, you know, if it's something around what is paparazzi, then put that into Google and you're going to be amazed. Click on the video tabs. There's beautiful 3-minute videos out there which are going to explain to you. It's just that you need the time. And we all know that time has always been tricky to access.
We're in conversation with Dean McCoubry, the founder of My Social Life, which is a digital life skills training platform that works with thousands of kids in South African schools and also offers advice for their parents. Dean, I mean, just in closing, it's about awareness of the issues, not putting your head in the sand and thinking that I've done enough and my kids will be okay because I've raised sensible children. What more sort of final takeaway tips for parents would you give other than what you've just described about alerting ourselves to keep abreast of the latest news by signing up for something like those Google Alerts? Any sort of nuggets that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, I would say that your big challenge is, first of all, don't assume anything. Just imagine that there are lots of shadows in the room that you may not know. That's not fear-mongering. It's just go, God, there might be a lot of things that maybe I don't know about because of popular culture and because my kids may not necessarily feel safe enough to tell me because they feel embarrassed or whatever. So that means you're going to need to invest a little bit of time. That's point two. That you're going to need to carve out that extra time, even though we're in a pandemic and it's very crazy. That time will pay you dividends back. And then it's to have these off-screen times, like at dinner and phones not in rooms and so on, so that you can actually have discussions human to human, even if they're digital discussions, like what's happening in your life, what happened to this person, and so on. And then the final three are create an agreement and put that agreement up on your fridge. What is acceptable to you and what's not acceptable to you? And that's going to be your decision, not mine. We have an agreement template on our website, mysociallife.com with one L, mm-hmm. and you go to the blog section. That's going to be very helpful. Finally, monitor them so you can use apps like Custodio with a Q. That's Custodio with a Q. Or you can use the screen time functionality in Apple, or you can use the screen time app in Android. Finally, self-educate. That's what I said. I'd say that's the real deal. If you know a lot, you can then approach it and try not to be too awkward, because they want to kind of hide away if they feel like you're either too probing or you're just too embarrassingly not in the knowledge. And those would be like 6 or 7 really key things. I promise you it's going to nudge you so much closer to better conversations, more kind of feedback and a better awareness of what's happening in their lives.
Dean McCoubry, always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for those tips. The founder of My Social Life, you'll find them on mysociallife.com.